Esther Wangbo said, Buddhas, sentient beings, are nothing but one mind, besides which nothing exists. This mind, without beginning, unborn, indestructible. It is not green nor yellow, it has neither form nor appearance. It doesn't belong to categories of things existing, not existing, nor can it be thought of as new or old, neither short nor long, neither big nor small. It transcends all limits, measures, names, traces, comparisons, and yet it is that which you see before you. Reason about it, and you at once fall into error. It's the boundless void which cannot be fathomed or measured. One mind is Buddha, and there's no distinction between Buddha and sentient beings, except that sentient beings are attached to forms and so seek externally for Buddhahood. By seeking, they lose it, for that is using Buddha to seek for Buddha and using mind to grasp mind. Even though they do their utmost for a full eon, they will not be able to attain it. They don't know it. They don't know that if they put a stop to this conceptual thinking and forget anxiety, Buddha appears before them, because this mind is Buddha, and Buddha is all living beings. It's not the less for being manifested in ordinary beings, nor is it greater for being manifested as Buddhas. That's from a text that's variously translated as transmission of mind or on the transmission of mind. There's many translations of it into English and into various other languages. The first translation of this that I read is a book, an old book. This was in the 60s that I read my copy of it. Yeah, this one was published in 58. It's called The Zen Teaching of Wangpo. Wangpo is Obaku, translated by John Blofeld. I remember getting this book published by Evergreen and I got my copy in the early 60s. Wonderful, very direct, clear text, very direct expression of what our life is, what our practice is, and yet we look for it in all sorts of circumstances. We look for it in avoiding circumstances, in getting caught up in circumstances. This week in our life, many of us have been touched by the circumstances of what's happening in Ukraine, in Russia. So I want to say a few words about that. I should start by acknowledging that I have some past family connection with Ukraine, because my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, and was born there. His family lived there. He left before World War II, but he had brothers and sisters who lived there with their children and their children's families and their grandchildren. However, by the end of World War II, only one of his sisters escaped alive. The rest of them were killed. I'm not sure when they were killed, whether they were killed during the Stalin's starvation famine of the 1932-33, when 3 to 5 million people died in Ukraine, or whether during World War II and the Nazi death killing holocausts in Ukraine, which was particularly brutal. As far as I know, I have no living relatives there, but I don't know what happened with most of my family there. And even though there's the maternal side of the families there, I also had paternal grandparents who lived there. I mean, the area is, borders kept moving there, so to speak. But they left right after World War One. I've been told that my paternal grandfather, two of his kids were killed in pogroms there, and he said that we're getting out of here, we have to leave. So he left with one kid, and then a second kid was born on the way when he eventually got to America in the 20s. So there is that connection, and during the invasion and the ongoing fighting and bombing, I feel a certain connection there with all sorts of peoples. We've all been with the lead up to the events and with what we react and how we react to that, what there is to do and what there isn't to do, how we have or notice our ideas about who should or shouldn't, who should have and shouldn't have, whether it's Russia or the US or Germany, what to do, and to notice how we humans, but we particular us, get entangled in the stories, in the judgments, in the beliefs. So in a way, this is a, as we sometimes, as I say, writ large, but it's not so different when we get entangled in stories about should and shouldn't, about our neighbors and friends and families that are close or at a distance in Ukraine and Russia, feeling the pain and suffering of others, whether in terms of illness or being bombed or being killed, having ideas of what, who is responsible and who's bad and who's good, and noticing these and seeing what is skillful to do and what's unskillful in getting entangled in fighting about, in all sorts of reactions that blind us to this moment of life. Whether this moment is watching on television or reading on the internet or in a newspaper about the events, sitting, offering bows, incense, our wishes for the well-being of all those there, our anger at, whether it's Putin or people who aren't doing certain things or who are doing things, or entangled in stories about who's to blame and who isn't to blame. Yet all of this is nothing but, as Wang Po says, this Buddha mind, this one mind that we are. It's neither form nor appearance, and yet there's something for us to do. How, see where and when we fall into error, so to speak. We hold on to our forms and look for an answer to make things okay. And what trouble we cause with that. What's skillful, what's not skillful, whether it's trouble about our neighbor right next door, or in our house even, or even just our own emotion, thought, habits, stories about past or stories about right now that we get caught in, that keep us from being this moment, keep us from embracing this beings that we encounter that are nothing but our life, that give us, if I say it that way, the opportunity of being compassionate and skillful, or that give us the opportunity to notice our entanglement and reaction and upset about them. Doesn't matter if it's our neighbor who's here or not here, or if it's those who are killing and bombing in Kiev or throughout Ukraine, or the nuclear reactors that are being attacked, and then the fear about the danger that they might expose radiation and do even worse damage. How do we practice in the midst, as this one mind, if I use that word, one Buddha life that we all are, whether we are call ourselves so-called Buddhas or call ourselves so-called sentient beings. That's always our practice. Knowing that our opportunity of the whole universe manifesting is right this moment. So our job, your job, my job, if I say it in that way, is to live this being just this moment, and to practice skillfully when caught up in self-centeredness, in other-centeredness, in all sorts of dreams. So please take care of your practice skillfully. Enlist and be supported by the universe that we are. Thank you.